This morning to yous. You might be getting a bit sick of me now, but that's all right. I entitled the talk that I want to talk about this morning, Walking in Peace. And it came from the other day when I was speaking, and I talked. I read the verses from Ephesians 6, 13 to 15, and it says this: therefore put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and you are able to. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And that was the verse there that I wanted to go back and have a look at after I read it the other day when I was here, verse 15 of Ephesians, and it says, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And Kevin was going to put those shoes back up there again, and when Paul was writing this, he was in jail, and he was writing these verses to equip the church for what was about to happen, the battle that was about to start, the spiritual warfare that was about to come on to the church at the time, and for us today. And as Paul was writing, I'm guessing he's looking at the soldiers' feet, and he was looking at these shoes, and he was saying that these are the types of shoes that the Christians need to wear. And when I look at those shoes there, I look at those and I think you need a lot of determination every single morning to put those shoes on. That's why I have these shoes. They have no laces and I can just slip my feet straight into them. I don't want to spend too much time doing that because that takes up too much of my life. The bottom of these shoes had nails on them, and they had them driven into them, and they were there for the reason to give them stability. And these were the war shoes of the day. These were not like those combat boots that Emily wears, and I'm struggling in my head to why she would wear something like that. But, you know, these were the war shoes of the day. And as Paul was talking or looking at these, he was saying that there's two things that a soldier needs. One is that they need to have stability, and the other is that they need to have mobility, especially when they go into battle. And these shoes were the shoes that were able to do all that. And these two things are what we need in this life so that we can stand firm in the spiritual battle that lies ahead for us. The trials, the temptations, the storms that come along, we need to be able to have shoes like this on. The bottoms of these shoes were for the soldiers to give them stability, and the stable shoulder soldier, he could stand firm when war was about to happen. And it's not like today where you can sit in an office and push a button and a missile gets flown halfway across the world and blows a city up or whatever. This was face-to-face combat in these days. You could smell what that guy had for breakfast when you were getting up close and you had to fight this person. So they need to have something on their feet, and this is what they had that would give them stability, you see, so they wouldn't slip and slide all over the place, because there'd be nothing more embarrassing than going off to war and finding that you're slipping and sliding all over the place and you weren't able to actually do what you were supposed to do. In Ephesians 6, 13 and 15, it says, therefore put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And Paul had a purpose, not just for the church at the time, for us also, is that we need to learn to stand our ground. We need to learn to be able to stand firm. We need to understand as Christians, when we're under attack, we do not have to be swayed like the world does. We do not need to fall over like the world does. We do not need to be unstable like the world is. When trouble comes our way, we can stand firm because we have the right shoes on. And that's what Paul is telling us. So I'm wondering what type of shoes you're wearing. And I've got heaps and heaps and heaps of different shoes and different shoes for different places where I go running. And Paul's saying, hey, these are the types of shoes that you need to have on. 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. He's saying, give yourself fully to the Lord. And we talked about that a little bit last week, about how much of us do we give. And here it's saying that we need to give ourselves fully to the Lord, and that our labour the works that we do will not be in vain. He'll look after us and he'll make sure that they're being put to use. Do not let the giants in this world move you. As Lyndon was talking about, there's so many things out there. There's so many things out there that get to us and get us down. Do not let them move you. Stand firm. Do not let the money problems that you may have move you. Do not let the bad situations in your life move you away from God. Do not let politics move you away from where you are. Do not let angry words against you move you. Stand firm on what you believe. Stand on what you know is right. And if we learn to stand like these soldiers did, then we'll learn to withstand all the enemies and the things that are thrown at us. And the second part of wearing those shoes was that Paul mentioned that they're to be mobile soldiers so that they can move around. And those shoes there, believe it or not, they were good for standing firm and they were good for being able to be mobile in. And we have been called not just to stand firm, we have been called to move as well. There's a world out there and there's a community out there whereby God's people need to be moved, or the people of this earth, God wants those people to be moved towards God. And that's what a job he's asked us to be a part of. The problem is we kind of stand back nowadays, don't we, a little bit. We tend to not do that. We tend to shy away from using words like hell or sinners or all those types of things, don't we? We kind of shy away. We're in a world now where people don't actually appreciate that sort of thing being said, and we're not allowed to actually say that. And in this here, it's saying, hey, stand firm on what you believe and what you know, and you'll be okay. The problem is, you know, we get scared of doing that, and God's saying, go on, get out there and take a bit of territory, like the soldiers did. We need to move for God and with God so that we can do what God wants us to do. And the mobile soldier, he can move quickly into battle, can't we? So those soldiers there, believe it or not, they could run reasonably fast in those shoes. And when attacks come, and they do, when trials and temptations and storms come in our lives, when those things happen, when we have attacks on our family or our friends or our wives or our husbands, our children, the church, your belief, when your belief gets attacked, when our church gets attacked, you're not just going to stand back when you're wearing shoes like that. You're going to step forward. You're going to move forward with a mindset, and you can say to yourself, I'm going to go into battle here, and it's going to be okay. In Luke 14:23, it says, then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. He says, go out to the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house is full. The Lord's house isn't full yet. We're still here. The Lord's house needs more people, and he's telling us to go out into those country lanes. He's telling us to be mobile and go out into those country lanes. Matthew 28:19-20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very ends of age. And I love that bit at the end. I am with you always to the very ends of the age. It doesn't matter what happens, what's going on, God is always going to be with us when we go out and when we go into battle. Till the very, very end. Till he takes us home. He's going to be with us and he's going to look after us and he's going to guide us. God wants us to go out. And we need to be, when we go out, we need to be stable and we need to be mobile. He then talks about another word that gives us the ability to do both of these things in this verse. And that's the thing that I was struggling with a little bit at the start. It's like, that's very nice. You're telling me to be stable and you're telling me to be mobile, but how do I do that? And in Ephesians 6:15, it says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And that's the key to the whole thing. If you want both mobility and you want stability in your life, you need to have peace in your life. And here's the thing, if we're going through rubbish, if we're going through stuff that's just not nice, there is a peace that is available to you. There is a peace that will bring mobility, and there is a peace that will bring stability into your life. Things may be chaotic, but we have set access to peace, and here is what peace is. This peace is calm and tranquility of the soul amid difficult situations. Peace is calm and tranquility of the soul amid difficult situations. And I guess this here should define a believer right here. We should be able to work around no matter how chaotic things are and be at peace. Peace should be the default setting of the believer because of who we have living in us and because of the shoes we have on. And once again, it's a whole lot easier to say this stuff than it is to actually do this stuff, isn't it? Our default in everything should be peace. It should not be reacting in anger. It should not be getting violent. It should not be getting smart or sassy. And this week, and I think God is like, he's got a sense of humor, because every time I seem to want to do this, this week I had a situation and I was really slacked off about it, to be perfectly honest. I felt really let down and I felt disappointed and I was getting angry and I just wanted to go and tell, and I'm going, walk in peace, Michael, walk in peace. And I'm going, but he did this, and I'm going, walk in peace, Michael, walk in peace, Michael. And I was just, oh, and I was like, so I walked in peace. Our default in everything should be peace, and it shouldn't be overreacting, like I said. People should be able to see we have peace in our lives. Philippians 4:7 said, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guide your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. We should be able to go through situations the rest of the world goes through, but we experience different in a different way than the rest of the world because we have peace in our lives. How do I bring peace that brings stability? How do I have a peace that brings mobility into my life? And the first thing is, peace is what I have because Jesus lives in me. And this is important to understand, because when we do not let our culture, or we do not let the situations guide our lives anymore. Why? Because we have Jesus who brings us peace and gives us stability. And Paul says, have your feet fitted with the gospel of peace. So the key to peace is what? We need to have the gospel, don't we? We need to have the gospel in our life. We need to admit the ABCs of the gospel. We need to go back to the basics. The first one is, we need to admit we are sinners, broken, fallen, separated from God, that we're not created at peace with God. We must admit that we need to show humility. We must admit we cannot do this on our own. And the second thing is, we need to believe, don't we? Now we admit there is a problem, we need to believe in the solution. Jesus is the answer to our sins. He is our Lord and our Saviour. He is the sacrifice for our sins. When there was no other way, Jesus made a way. We need to confess this with our hearts. And that's what we've just done here, isn't it? We've recognised this and we've come and we've believed in the sacrifice that Jesus... And the last one is come. Come to the Lord. Come to him. Repent from what you're doing. Turn around and come to his way of living. And we need to do those things in our lives before we can have peace. Remember that day that you gave your life to the Lord. And I remember doing that in this chapel right here. And I remember doing that with Alan McClay. And I remember the peace that it brought in my heart. And I'm sure all of you people will remember that day that you gave your life to the Lord and the peace that it brought you. Unfortunately, sometimes we park it up, don't we? We get so busy with life and we get so busy with everything else that the Lord gets pushed out to the side. And that's really sad. Once at war with God, now we are friends with God. And that's all thanks to the cross and what we've remembered here. Isaiah 9:6 says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and guess what? Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. When you receive Jesus, you receive the Prince of Peace into your life. You have the Prince of Peace living in you every single day, every single moment, every single second of your day. You have the Prince of Peace in your life. Colossians 3:15 said, let the Prince, the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful for that. Be thankful for the peace that you have in your heart. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The world offers peace. The world offers a way out, doesn't it? And we call those things drugs. We call them alcohol, uppers, meth, whatever it is that they use, but it doesn't last. You know, it's good for the moment, it's good for the night, it's you wake up in the morning, but everything else is still there. Jesus lives peace in us all the time, every moment of your life. And there's a lot of reasons to follow Jesus: eternity with him in heaven, forgiveness of sins. But the big one for me is the fact that I can go through the trials of this world, the same trials the world goes through, but I can have peace internally when everything is crazy externally. And I'm so thankful for God that he is with me every single part of my day. And when I have a hard day, and when I'm battling with walk in peace, walk in peace, walk in peace, and this person has really upset me, then I have to go home and I have to say to the Lord, Lord, you need to take this from me and you need to give me peace on this situation because I need you to do this. I have the Prince of Peace living in me every moment of every day. When my peace is based on my situation, I'm likely to fall. When my peace is based on my Saviour, I can stand firm. I have grip on my feet. The peace I have will stabilise me. And we need to get to a place where we know God is taking care of us in all situations, not because of anything externally, but because we have God internally. Peace is now what I make because Jesus works in me, through me. And I guess this is the bit where it gets really hard for me, because this is when we bring peace as Christians to chaos. And that's the next part of the step. This is when, as Christians, we bring light to darkness, isn't it? We can bring joy to sadness. We can now take our gospel shoes of peace and walk into battle, and we can bring peace of God into situations that are horrific, that are chaotic, that are sad. When Christians get involved with something, things should get better, not worse. And that's how it should be. And I was talking to someone that goes to this church the other day, and they were going to a horrific, horrific situation. And she said to me, she said, what do I say? And I got no words for a situation like that. I haven't. But what I know is I guarantee you that they took peace into that situation and they helped in that situation because they had those shoes on. I'd have to admit that sometimes I've been wearing the wrong shoes, and I get it wrong, but putting the right shoes on, I should be able to bring peace and peace into situations like that. And as the soldiers of God, I'm not only have stability because I have peace, I have mobility to walk into those situations and bring peace into that situation, whether this is on a personal level or on a someone else's level or situation. In Romans 12:8 it says, if it is encouragement, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Whatever the situation needs, give to it. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody and share that peace. Ephesians 2:14 says, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barriers, the dividing walls of hostility. God will take all walks of life, even the diversity that's inside this room, and make them one. And they call it a church, one body in Christ, living with the gospel shoes of peace on. It's not just about bringing peace into this room, our homes, our work, but it's into our communities as well. Matthew 5 and 7 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." You will not find peace until you've made peace. And when you do, then it's your job to walk into battle, into our community, with the gospel shoes of peace on and help the situations get better. And so when I was looking at these verses and I thought to myself, walk in peace, walk in peace, walk in peace, what do I need to know? I need to know, first of all, to have peace, I need the gospel in my life. I need to understand what it was, and I need to make sure that I have Jesus in my life and he is there 24 hours a day. And sometimes there is a disconnect, isn't there? There's a disconnect between what we're doing here and where we are with God. And we need to sort that out so that we can go into battle. And it's with my hand on heart, I'm so thankful that there are soldiers in this room that wore the gospel peace shoes of peace. And because they did, they went into battle, they stood firm on what they believed, and they walked towards me. And they shared the gospel of peace with me so I could have peace brought into my life. And because God's great soldiers, I can now walk into peace. And there's people in this room that have done that. And they have helped me, and they've led me along. And they, when I was a younger person, they shared the peace that they had in their lives. And now that's our job to carry that on and to go out into all the world and to preach the word and to bring people to the house of the Lord so that the house gets filled up. And so I guess the question is, you know, when tomorrow morning you go to put your shoes on, think about these verses in Ephesians. Think about, are you putting the shoes on so that you can go out into your community, that you can go out there and you can be mobile, you can stand your ground, and that you can be in peace and care for those people that are around you. And I guess tomorrow morning when you put your shoes on and you're doing up your laces, ask yourself, what am I going to do today? Am I going to walk in peace, or am I going to cause an argument? Am I going to help someone to come to the Lord, or am I going to deter them away from the Lord? And I've had to really work hard on that. They've kind of nicknamed me Noodle at work because I always go in and I go, well, that job should have only taken a couple of minutes to get done, when in reality it took, you know, an hour. And so I bring tension into the room and I go, come on, we need to get this done, we need to get that. And I'm a shocker at doing that, and I was a shocker at doing that in other areas of my life as well. So I need to make sure, and I've been working hard on that I don't bring tension into the room, that I bring peace into the situation. And that's what God wants us to do, isn't it? He wants us to take peace into our community, into our workplaces, into our homes, into our family situations, into the storms that are coming for someone else. If we can help them, then that is what God wants us to do. So yeah, go home and read Ephesians and read it again and read it again and read it again and see what you come up with. Thanks. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning that you are such a mighty God, and Father, that the world is in chaos, but we can have peace in that. Father, that things happen, storms come, trials come, temptations come. We know that we can have peace. We know that we can be firm-footed. We know that we can run away from these things because we have mobility in you. Father, we just thank you for your word, how it teaches us, how it guides us. We thank you for this church body. We thank you for the believers in it. We thank you for the freedom that we have. We thank you for the hope that we have. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your Son. Everything that gives us a purpose to be here, a purpose in life, it gives us the strength to get on and get out there and help with your kingdom. Father, we thank you for the soldiers that have been in this room. We thank you for the lives that they have lived, and we thank you that they've stood firm and they've shared the gospel of peace with lots of people so that they could come to know. Help us to do that as a church. Help us to go into our communities. Help us to reach out to those that are hurting. Help us to reach out to those that feel lost, that are living in darkness, that, you know, have got so many things going on, Lord. Help us to get out there and to to be part of that and to bring peace to all the situations, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.